Today on the Cooligans, it is an MLS preview. The 2025 MLS season is starting up this weekend. We're excited about it. So we asked some of the homies. Steven Cangelosi, the Canji man, obviously legend of Metro Stars and Red Bull announcer at MSG. He joins us. And we also sit down with Keaton Parks of New York City FC.
Oh, and that's not it. We also talk about Champions League. Some Americans, CONCACAF on the up, baby. We talk about some Americans that have gone through. And we talk about, do we like this format? Yes or no? That and more today on the Cooligans.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. We got a lot of show today.
We can't even fit in a joke. That's fine. We got a lot. We got two dope interviews.
As always, my name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right. And today we are previewing MLS, and we're going to be talking some Champions League towards the end of the show as well. But MLS kicks off this weekend, Friday, Saturday, wow. February 22nd. So we're all looking forward to it. But to join us and help preview the new MLS season, Steve Cangelosi, one of the MLS season pass announcers. You also may know him for years on MSG as the Metro Stars and New York Red Bulls announcer.
Also New Jersey Devils. You're a big fan.
Exactly. So he's someone we've wanted to speak to for a long time.
We got him in the studio.
So
also we've got Keaton Parks of New York City FC.
That's right.
Yeah, we talked to him back when we were in Miami for MLS Media Day. We got an opportunity to talk to him about what to expect from this next season coming up. Happy to have him on the show. We got to look at this. A Red Bull guy, an NYCFC guy.
Look at that. Okay.
We're getting both sides of the Hudson River.
We're getting the Crips and the Bloods shaking hands.
Like, remember when they tied both bananas together? It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Cangelosi came in here seawalking. I said, damn. And he says C stands for Cangelosi.
That's hilarious. We would love to see Kanji Man dance. The Kanji Man. Yo, that's what Kendrick should ask him, right? Instead of Serena, bro.
Serena learned it from him. Serena's like, I'm doing the Kanji, man.
The Kanji dance, bro. Let's go. So let's get right to it and chat with Steve Cangelosi. We got a lot to look forward to on this 2025 MLS season. Is your team going to win MLS Cup? Steve will let you know if that's even a possibility. So here it is. Here's a conversation with Steve Cangelosi.
I mean, look at this, huh? You know, you read the title. You already know who's here. But this is the important thing. Sometimes we get, like, not just American soccer royalty, but someone who's seen it from the gantry, from the beginning.
My man started in the mailroom.
You know? Okay. He was walking with the car, and he said, you know, I think I could call this game if you need me to.
This is something I'm very, very excited about and thrilled for, because I told them before we started recording, but we grew up with this man's
especially
voice.
You. Oh, man.
Yes, 100%. When it comes to, especially, I'm a New Jersey Devils fan, so this is someone whose voice I heard for a very long time. But even...
they have a stadium in Newark, so this man's probably spent more time in Newark than I have.
But prior to Metro Stars, you know, going to Metro Stars games when I was a kid and everything. This is a...
The only flaw is that he does Red Bull.
That's the only flaw. I mean, look, nobody's perfect.
Right?
But an absolute honor to have him join us on the show. Somebody who's covered Major League Soccer for a very long time. Nobody knows more about this league, and specifically, you know, especially New York area soccer. Oh. Everybody, please give a round of applause to Steve Cangelosi. Kanji, man, what's up, brother?
First of all, no one in this country uses the word gantry. That's number one. With the exception of my partner, Danny Higginbotham on Apple, who once said to me, I'll be by the lift waiting for you.
Bro.
And I kept telling him, we have a lift. The car is coming. No, I'll meet you by the lift. Yeah. And it took me about 6 months to realize he meant elevator.
Anyway,
it's wonderful to be here. When did the show start again? Tell me.
2015, around September 2015.
Began. And I've been on the air since 2002 in MLS. Mm. And my first invite is today. It's wonderful.
We waited until you did a more national job.
We would have had you on much sooner.
Would have loved to.
I think it's something where this is how it is a lot for us. We because we're stand-up comedians in this space, and when when we started, we met all the journalists, we met all the announcers and stuff like that, and everybody, the skepticism was oozing out of everybody's face. They were just like, who are these guys? Why are they here? Everybody felt like their job was too serious to be able to take us
seriously.
They
didn't want to be seen with us.
And then over time,
we're like crooked cops walking back into the dressing room.
Media,
whatever they get.
Media and Major League Soccer takes a lot of, not ownership is not the word, but there's a lot of pride in like, hey, nobody was, you know, supporting this league. Uh-huh. And it's basically the players, the you know, front office people and media folks that tell the stories of the league. I would also say are the historians of this sport and this largely particular league.
And what truly happened, what really went on behind the scenes.
Yeah, and then when two dummies like us, comedians, everybody was like, whoa, 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 are you going to be mocking us, making fun of us?
So the wait was worth it for me because it allowed me several decades to absorb your comedic affluence, yeah, and here I am, yes, to appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We've earned your trust.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we
had
to
bring you in.
Without question.
You walked into our studio and you were like, hey, what's up, Alexis? What's up, Christian? And I was like, Kenji knows who we are.
Hey, Kenji knows my name, dude.
So that felt pretty good.
I'm prepared for class. Yeah.
But yeah. Thank you for joining us. This is how many years? In 23 years covering MLS?
Well, so I was working for the MSG Network here in New York City as early as 2000. But in 2002, that's the year everything changed. Coinciding, by the way, with the quarterfinals of the World Cup, that team, great team that was coached by Bruce Arena in South Korea and Japan. Mm-hmm. And my boss, Leon Schweier, at the time, drags me into his office, and he was the executive producer. Leon made all the big decisions programming at the Garden. And he says to me, starting this year, we're going to take full charge of the Metro Stars TV production. And I said, Leon, that's great. What am I doing in your office, okay? Because the fact of the matter is I was hired to anchor Sports Desk at the time and cover the more mainstream New York teams, the Yankees, the Mets, the Knicks, the Rangers, you understand. And I said, do you really want me as the face of your soccer broadcast? And he said, yes, you're good. I need you. I got to work with JP Della Camera and Shep Messing, two of the legends in our neck of the woods, and the rest is kind of history 23 years later.
I have a follow-up question because one of the things I wanted to know in this pod is that your voice all the time?
Yes.
And is this the same voice and cadence you order drive-thru at McDonald's with?
Do we have English muffins this morning?
I love this about you because like this is what I hoped was real. Like you reading a bedtime story is the same as you talking to the penalty.
Yeah. You know who John Facenda is? And I'm not putting myself in the category. He's the famous voice of NFL films all of those years.
Yeah,
and
he could
read a laundry list and you could stick it next to anything that Hemingway ever did. Continue.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's
no, awesome. It is. One of the things that I had seen, because Rebels and MSG, they honored you and Shep for 20 years. A couple years ago. And Shep, in that piece that they aired, Shep told a story about that 2002 when you first started. You were a sideline reporter on the team with JP and Shep.
Yeah.
And he said that you had spoken into the mic, and I guess you were speaking to them upstairs, and you said, hey, I have a question about FIFA.
Which is, like, is that dog?
He got a lot of mileage out of that, which was only partially true,
okay?
Because I was being funny, but he extended that story over several decades. But I did get them off their game for at least a half an hour wondering if I knew what the heck
about. It made me really happy hearing that because when we started, obviously we're stand-up comics, so we our first agent was a comedy agent that didn't know anything about
soccer. She tried so hard.
And she was very good at like those getting us opportunities and negotiating
deals and stuff like that. Yeah.
Amazing, but
the understanding of the world of soccer.
But she did the like what was it that she asked about?
She goes,
Garber.
No, but. Well, first of all, she said, I'm going to call Garber, and she just did. Which we were like,
she just called
that
Garber.
Yeah. But she, we were having a meeting. She's like, oh, one more thing. I hear this year they're going to try out a Women's World Cup. This
is, I got to try it out.
She's like, the U.S. soccer is putting it on, right? I go, we got a lot to go on. I go, the women have won it many times. The U.S.
You're only off by about 15 years. Yeah, cut us some slack. It's okay.
But she thought the U.S. was like, we've decided to allow women.
It is amazing where we've come. And I think it was probably educational for you. you guys, because you got a sense of who you'd be communicating to if you wanted this to be something that was far more expansive than just the people in soccer circles, mm-hmm. right? So where have we come? You asked about 2002, that first year. Remember, the team had just, the league had just contracted right. to 10 teams. Right. They fold the two Florida franchises. This is a 10-team league I'm walking into, right? At the time, the only team in MLS that had a soccer-specific stadium was the Columbus Crew, what we refer to now as the historic Crew Stadium, right. which was really an erector set with very cold steel benches, I get it. Yeah. And all of the other teams, Metro Stars included, were playing in either NFL stadiums or large college stadiums, right. okay? My first game, I walk into Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City.
Which is like, what, 70-something?
Same Arrowhead Stadium Patrick Mahomes was playing in a couple of weeks ago with a couple of modifications since, right. granted, modernized in whatever way you will. And it's the Metro Stars against the Kansas City Wizards, okay? 78,000 seat stadium. Maybe there are 8,000 people there. Maybe there are 8,000. Mike McGee scores a game tying second half goal for the Metro Stars. Shep Messing and I are up in the booth, and God is my witness, we heard the Metro Stars celebration audibly from upstairs in the press conference. So the lack of atmosphere, contrasts that with where we are now. 26 teams this season are going to play in a soccer-specific stadium. And as you guys know, there are two more on the way. Messi's going to get a new house in Miami. New York City is going to get one by Citi Field.
Exactly. Well, and that brings me to you're a Queens guy.
Yes.
You are a Queens guy. New York City is going to build a stadium for New York, or New York City FC is going to build a stadium in Queens. I know you're a Red Bulls guy, but just talking about the game overall, to where you grew up, to where you are now, where you the story you just told when you started in 2002, to now, there's going to be a soccer-specific stadium in Queens next to the old Shea Stadium / Citi Field. How does that feel?
Sorry to invoke this, but I was the guy who called the New York playoff derby last year. Okay, Danny and I were assigned that game. And I remember when we were assigned that game, I make a few calls right away to our production crew. And people behind the scenes, yeah, we're going to get a new stadium. I just, can it be ready by Friday night? was what I said. And look, this can't come soon enough. And just frame a reference here. Go back to that event. First ever New York playoff derby. And if you wanted to just take the air out of the balloon, tell me that they're going to be winterizing Citi Field the same time, and they're going to cap the attendance at whatever it was, 23,000. We need to get to the day where those things are just non-entities, non-discussions, and this will be a very big deal. Pascal Janssen is going to coach this team on opening day. He and Javier Mascherano are going to line up as head coaches against each other on Saturday night when New York City plays Miami. Those are two of 12 coaching changes in Major League Soccer coming up this year. We go back to a time when we didn't have 12 teams, never mind 12 coaching changes. So everything has grown. It's about time that the stadiums meet that metric as well. And once that stadium goes up, I think all bets are off. I think City Football Group is going to recognize we've got a palace. We're going to put some royalty in that palace. Yeah. That's what the stadium
I'm
means to me.
I'm looking for. I mean, yeah. Nobody hypes me up.
I know, right? I'm ready to go.
I mean, this is a.
I'm ready to pick up a shovel. Let's get this thing built.
When it comes to, I know, even you know, this is an exciting time. You know, tomorrow, Onside, the documentary comes out. Yeah. So and we're looking. We've spoken to a lot of players and people involved in that. But just. Can you talk a little bit about the nature of your job has changed significantly from calling one particular team to now getting assigned to different ones? Mm-hmm. It is, I know, you know, when I hear you talk about Red Bull and just even certain players like that, there is something to the, you grew up with some of these guys, right? Like you see you from the academy and whatever. And now that's a little bit detached. How do you feel about the nature of your job, traveling team to team and trying to build that connection with those other clubs?
So you use the word build. Building trust is everything in light of what you're talking about. You know, back in the day, Mike Petke is coaching the Red Bulls and Shep Messing and I had him on speed dial. And anytime we need to know what's really going on, anytime we need to know what not to say, like if many times, and this is the key to building trust, people think, oh, the coach is going to tell me what I should say. More often than not, the coach is going to tell you, don't say that because that's not true. Now, I can't get into the reasons fully why that's not true, but that's not true. So that trust that we talk about is so instrumental to everything that we do. And instead of building it with one coach primarily, you're building it with many coaches throughout the league. And that's a process, okay? Me being where I am, living in the Northeast, generally MLS and Apple assign me to games in the eastern portion of the United States.
Yeah.
My relationship, as you might imagine, is much stronger with those coaches. Got to the point where Jim Curtin would just speak to us freely about anything, you know, in all the years that he was in Philadelphia. And he didn't care that I was the Red Bulls announcer for many years and he coached the rival team. He got it. He understood that, okay, I've heard enough of this guy. I trust him. I'll tell him what we're doing, and I expect some reciprocity in terms of respect of what we're talking about. It's not easy because, let's put it this way, I called the New Jersey Devils, as you know, in the NHL for 16 years, and the roster is just ingrained in your head. The strengths and weaknesses of every player is fully ingrained in your head. Now, all of a sudden, drop of a dime, you're dropping into a city where maybe you're not as familiar with the two teams, but you owe it to the audience to make every effort in order to understand fully what everybody's function is on the field. And it's a challenge for a lot of us. I think we've pulled it off well in the first 2 years. I do. I'll speak proudly of that.
What I get from you also is that you have like this great understanding and you get to see the game from a bird's eye view. I think a lot of times fans want their announcers to be, you know, die hard, live and breathe by just this one team. You seem to have like a sort of good rapport with everyone. Is that a choice? Because I know there is like the Homer style announcer who's like, I'm calling it as if I was sitting in the stands with a microphone. And then there's someone like you who sort of talks about it from a much more poetic sense.
And I before you answer, I don't know if you've seen that Milan, is it the AC Milan announcer? The guy that is completely miserable when the opposing team scores and then loses his mind.
Look, we get that stateside in more than one sport.
Sure, sure.
I think it's a decision to make, right?
Tell you this. The Homerism part of it never really resonated with me. And here's what I think. When you're doing a regional broadcast, okay, all of those years that I did the Red Bulls on MSG, those years that Joe Tolleson did New York City on the YES Network, it's never really about Homerism. What it is about a division of what you're showing attention to on the broadcast, okay? When I did the Red Bulls, I would say Red Bulls, New England Revolution, the attention to storylines is like 70-30, okay? Now you're really trying to cut it as close to 50-50 as humanly possible. And I think that came out, we got to call game three of the Miami-Atlanta playoff series back in the fall. Messi eliminated. The one thing that kept resonating for me, I know that our global audience on Apple, probably 9 out of every 10 people out there are rooting for Lionel Messi to pop in a few and for Miami to win. But in the back of my mind is just, there's a reverence that you have to show for Atlanta United and a 40-year-old goalkeeper by the name of Brad Guzan, who's playing out of his mind like he's 26 and still at Aston Villa, okay? And that has to stay with you in your cadence while you're calling the game. And if it doesn't, I think the good ones kind of have to look in the mirror at the end of the day and say, hey, that's something I have to work on.
Sure, because it is a commentary that we've been hearing from fans of like, a lot of fans are like, I miss my guy.
Understood.
I miss the announcer that I had.
Understood. Yeah.
And it's a challenge, but it's felt.
Well, watch Kansas City versus London.
No, I get it because it's like the comfortable old shoe. Without a doubt. And you know, by and large, that announcer that you're talking about, the home team announcer, will know things about the history of the team, certainly, that won't come immediately to the others. And, you know, I was in that position. You know, this was unique for me doing that Red Bulls run to the final. You know, I never experienced anything like that in MLS prior to this run. But of course, there are going to be things that I can impart about the history of the team that even some of the best announcers on MLS and Apple, my colleagues who I respect so much, couldn't.
And some stuff you're just not going to find in research.
Jake Zivin could probably say the same thing if I'm calling a big Portland game. Or, you know, Neil Sika in Columbus, who lived the history of that team. That part of it is natural. But, you know, we live in an NFL-centric country, right, where all the games are on national TV. There's never a point where I think that Jim Nance is going to let the national audience down because he's not in tune with what a certain team is doing.
No, it's credit to what all the announcers are doing. Because I've fielded phone calls from announcers like when they're coming to town you know, New York City FC is playing, and they're asking me like, "Hey, is there anything, any insight you can?" And I'm like, part of me is just like,
how far down in the Google search is if we're getting phone? Because I get texts and phone calls, so I'm like, what?
But it's an honor
it is.
That somebody's like, hey, you are a resource to information about this team and this league that I need to reach out to you. And I'm like, all right, I've done something in my career to get to the point where I can provide that value.
Christian, which is, that communication goes on every single day of the season, okay? Because I know if I'm doing St. Louis City, you know, there are things about the makeup of the team that Taylor Twellman is going to know that I don't, right? Yeah. That's his home city. He knows the whole ownership group. But it goes beyond that. Tactically, there are people in Dallas who know what is going to happen there this season with Eric Quill, or how they're going to employ Lucho, anything going to be different. There are people who are boots on the ground in certain cities that you need to communicate with. And I always try to reciprocate when it's, you know, a of New York centric story. Sure. I think we all do. We live in that community.
Yeah. But talk to me a little bit, because you've mentioned history. Obviously, Lionel Messi coming in, I think, has surprised a lot of folks. It's been a bit of a circus in a good way as well, because I think it's brought so many more eyes and so much more attention. But you were a part of this league when some other big names came in. In particular, you were part of the Rebels when Thierry Henry comes in.
Yeah.
What was that like? Did you think that was going to be a watershed moment? And how different is it from when Messi's coming in?
It was different from when Beckham came in. Mm-hmm. Let's back up the bus a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Because when Beckham came in, I think he recognized a responsibility to sell the game to the United States of America. And to Beckham's credit, this is something I don't think we talk enough about. There were a lot of nights physically he shouldn't have been on the field. And he said, no, it's my responsibility to be on the field, because this is what I've chosen. And he lived up to that part of the bargain very, very well. Then Henry comes in, plays for the Red Bulls. He was here for 4.5 years. He probably could have been legitimately MVP of the league 3 of those 5 seasons that he was part of MLS. Henry came in, though, with a little bit more of a serious face, I thought. He thought that maybe if the torch was being passed from a player like Beckham to him, it was time to elevate the soccer discourse in this country, if that makes sense. It's not just all about the glitz and glamour. It's great that the LA guy did that and paved the way for somebody like me. But I thought Henry, and he's, if you know Thierry Henry, he's more of a serious bird, right? Yeah. All right. I mean, you'll get him in a good moment and he'll laugh with you. But, you know, he is all about the game, construction of rosters, who's doing what. Why is it that a smaller country like Costa Rica, population, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere in the vicinity of 8 million, why are they faring just as well as we are in the United States on the international stage suddenly? He asked very valid questions and wanted answers to them, and I'm not sure he left the franchise before he got them or not. But yeah, it was an interesting time with Thierry, and he was a pretty intimidating figure, as you might imagine, even for people who became club legends in later years, like Bradley Wright Phillips.
Yeah,
I work at CBS. I'm an Arsenal fan, and so he's a legend.
Ask BWP about that first year in particular, what it was like. You know, he acclimates to MLS that first half of the season. He only scores 2 goals. It's not right. Next year, Golden Boot. Who's making him a better player? The guy wearing number 14.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It
Fascinating.
Yeah. I was actually at his first game when he scored against Tottenham for this. It was like the New York Invitational, it was called.
Oh, I forgot like, that. Really?
Yeah, it was Robbie Keane was there. Gareth Bale was there. I think he was still a fullback. I don't think it was a forward.
You could fill a book with the things I forgot, Alexia. Yeah.
I'm fine. He comes in off the plane like earlier that day, and me and my friends get tickets to go. We're wearing Arsenal shirts. He comes in the second half and immediately scores against Tottenham. We're like, I can't believe we just saw Thierry Henry score in Harrison, New Jersey.
Yeah.
It was a wild moment. But yeah, to see that. How different was it now Messi coming in? This must be, talk about, it was different than Beckham. This is completely different than both of them.
It's, yeah. Number one, the access to Lionel Messi is minimal, if non-existent. Not for his teammates, not for select fans, for media. I know people who have 60 questions a day for him and can't get one answered, okay? So that part of it is very different. The traveling circus is very different. We've never witnessed anything like this in this league and maybe in this sporting country up until Lionel Messi arrives. I think this is a critical year. If the arrival of Lionel Messi is some sort of litmus test for where we are as a soccer nation, this, I think, is going to be a critical year. We talk about rivalries in this league. The Atlanta-Miami rivalry, and the first game, by the way, is March 16th, part of the Sunday night soccer thing that we're doing on MLS on Apple, right? Rivalries are born of difficult losses and playoff encounters. We got that with those two teams. Mm-hmm. So now you've got the greatest player, arguably, in the history of this game with a chip on his shoulder facing the team that ended it for him when it wasn't supposed to end when it did last season. The great ones, I think, Michael Jordan falls into this category. Others do. They're vicious when it comes to this stuff. And I think we're going to see a Lionel Messi, assuming he stays healthy. This is a very big thing. And I think anybody who tries to predict whether or not he'll play something in the vicinity of 30 games, you're just throwing a dart at a board. But how he approaches this season, knowing in his mind they failed to deliver a championship last year, to me, that is the most fascinating element when you talk about storylines of 2025.
Do you think Lionel Messi is relieved to be able to play an MLS season this time around where he will not have to face Dax McCarty?
Is that an issue? It's a funny league. We could laugh, and I understand. I'll laugh along with you. They got eliminated that night, Miami, with four of the greatest players of their generation on the field. And you know why they got eliminated? Because they were missing a college player from the University of New Hampshire who was hurt that night, Yannick Bright.
Yeah.
If he plays that night, the entire dynamic of the game changes. You know, that's why I hate predictions, okay? My bosses at the league, give us your predictions for the league on February 11th. February 11th? The rosters are going to change completely.
That's going to be my next question. Don't even say it.
The window doesn't close until April 23rd.
We would never do Carter.
And the four best players in the league in October might not be here until July. Okay, I'll give you my prediction.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so I had Cincinnati winning the East, Seattle winning the West, and I had Seattle winning MLS Cup, to answer your question.
So you think Jesus Ferreira, Ferreira and Paul Arriola are going to make that big of an impact?
They're also as well coached as anyone. I think we could talk about Messi from now until, you know, the sun goes down and comes back up. I get that. But part of the old guard of MLS and Brian Schmetzer is that he knows his team as well as just about any coach in the world knows their team. And it's funny, they're in this FIFA Club World Cup, and one of the teams that they have to play is probably one of the few people on the planet who knows his team better than Schmetzer knows his team, because Diego Simeone, who's been at Atletico Madrid forever, right? But I think that when you talk about what separates championship teams from talented teams, it starts out of the back. And I'll just deliver some smoke for the Red Bulls here, too. That's why they're going to be good again. Doesn't matter if Chopu Moting is going to score 15 goals. Their strength starts from the back. And I think you could say that about Seattle. I think you could see Cincinnati winning a supporter's shield if they get completely healthy defensively again. Got the goaltender or goalkeeper in Celentano and a healthy Miazga. Those things matter when it comes to accumulating points and finishing high in the table. I don't think Miami will use the same recipe this year to have a 74-point season. And by that, I mean being as leaky as they were in the back and outscoring their problems. I don't think you'll do that 2 years in a row. My guess is right.
But the surprising thing is they were able to do to still have that season with Messi unavailable for so many matches.
Correct.
Through injury, through the international.
Which is why a lot of people were iffy about wanting him to be MVP.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like, I think Messi is going to have a monster psychotic season. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something where I think that a lot of the clubs need to be kind of on guard or a little bit on notice, even though they had such a fantastic season last year.
He's at his best. Miami came into Red Bull Arena early in 2024. Messi didn't play. There was a rainstorm. Red Bulls drilled them that day 4-0. They have a healthy Messi the second time around. 5 assists in the second half. Right. One of the most virtuoso of performance. He takes these things personally, even if he wasn't part of the first wave of hurt.
Right,
if he's motivated, and again, if he's healthy, who knows? What?
Yeah, yeah.
20-20. I don't know. It could be that kind of year for him.
You've had this view of the sport. From this position, I keep talking about this bird's eye view. I want you to predict the future, not who's going to win MLS and all that. But there's rumors, there's talk of MLS switching to a fall schedule. Yeah. The World Cup is about to be in the U.S. in 2026. Obviously, we got FIFA Club World Cup. We've got Gold Cup coming.
It's pronounced FIFA.
FIFA. My bad. My bad. Let's get that going. Right. Pay some respect.
I mean, you know
he knows the truth, right? But obviously, with the World Cup coming here in 2026, where do you really see MLS going after that?
I can see the switch to the international calendar that is honored in most places of the world. I can see that. Now, I'm saying this knowing that a Miami, Kansas City, CONCACAF Champions Cup game had to be delayed 24 hours because of -10 wind chill in Kansas City, okay? I'm going to try not to be a prisoner of the moment, okay? I'm just going to think big picture. But I think when you talk quality of the overall league, if you align yourself with the same calendar and thus you're kind of in that same international acquisition of player signing as the rest of the world, you're going to be able to put your best foot forward. I think that probably supersedes a lot of the other things that they're worried about. And you should be worried about them. You should be worried about 4,000 people showing up in Toronto on a Wednesday night for a game in February. That's a genuine concern. But I think there are ways to cheat it. I think you can go a warm weather heavy schedule in certain parts of the calendar year. And I think if you're going to do it, this keeps coming back to me. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it right after that World Cup in 2026, because that's when the attention to the game in this country will be at a fever pitch. If you're asking me which way it's going to go, I don't want to be evasive. I'll say 60-40, it's going to switch. That's just one man's opinion.
I'm leading in the same direction, John. Maybe 70-30.
And I agree with the point. I mean, as uncomfortable as some games are going to be, you also think they have to do a like Bundesliga month break or something along those lines. But the business of the sport, the advantages of switching the schedule. It's like, I think a lot of people have, you know, we were talking before we started recording about like what Europeans sort of think about MLS and all this other stuff. But regardless of what they think of the quality of the league, there is a lot of money being thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
Players are, they are spending money on transfers. And if the calendar aligned with the winter and summer transfer windows, it could actually be a thing that can really make an impact on just
how often
the future
do you hear,
of the sport.
When are they going to loosen the purse strings? Loosen the purse strings? But then I'll counter that by saying this. Half of the teams in the league have set their personal incoming transfer record over the last 4 years.
Right.
It's begun.
Yeah.
It's begun.
Okay.
And we've also sold the player for $30 million. That's crazy. John Durant, if you add it all up. It's crazy. I guess, look, we don't have that much time, but I do want to get an idea. You talked a little bit about some of the teams you think might be good because obviously defensively they're very stout. Mm. This happens in MLS, right? Because of the way the league structure is, you can't keep your roster players, right?
No.
There's a lot of turnover. Every once in a while, we are shocked and awed by a team being so incredibly bad that we did not see coming. I want you to predict who you think that team might be.
Ooh, wow. Trying to think where I landed on this anymore. With my official predictions that went in on February 11th.
And you know, and Steve said it directly to the camera, so the fan base knows.
What I would say is this. Did Benteke get any help at all in this transfer window in D.C.? They've got a nice young coach in Troy Lesane, who I got to know a little bit in the brief spell with the Red Bulls. But I don't see where they got any better. Now, single-handedly, can he score 28 and they start doing some things that make me eat my words? Of course, he's that good. But I just think the way they played, it's all just so very direct to one guy. I think good teams figure that out. They're going to have something a little bit different up their sleeve in order to prove me wrong, I think.
That's fair. Yeah. And it's always, I mean, we obviously.
What a shock that the Red Bull guy takes down a D.
Yeah, right? I knew you were going there. What do you think?
You left.
I'd say I set you up, but I set myself up. Right. Yeah.
I always think, I know, we think about the defensively strong teams. Mm. I mean, obviously, the teams that I am watching are the, and focusing a lot on, are the teams that play against New York City FC since I'm at pretty much all those home games.
Mm.
But I think of those players, Benteke, how are they going to handle this guy who is cooking the rest of the league? And for the most part, NYCFC tends to handle the other team's best player pretty well. They've been, obviously, last year, the opening game, like Evander was like a player, like you just can't figure that guy out. And that leads me to my next question. As far as now that you are traveling a lot more and getting to familiarize yourself more deeply with other teams, who has been a team that has been like exciting to watch and fun to watch that was a surprise?
Yeah, I'm projecting ahead, not looking back. Okay. Charlotte has my attention.
Interesting.
Charlotte has my attention.
Yeah.
Wilfried Zaha coming in to that group and Patrick Adjiman doing what he did in the last 6 months, both for club and country, that points me in a direction. They're very well led by a coach who has a clue in Dean Smith, a captain who is a captain for all the right reasons in Ashley Westwood, and some guys who feel like they were overlooked last year because they play in Charlotte. Kalina was the best goalkeeper, doesn't get an invite to the All-Star game. Milanda might be the best pure center back in MLS. Got no love really at the end when it came to that. That's a group that I think if they stay healthy, I would put them finishing second ahead of Inter Miami in the East. To me, it would go Cincinnati, Charlotte, and then into Miami, only because I don't think Miami will prioritize the regular season as they did last year.
Okay, that's interesting. That is interesting too. And now it's
Charlotte's not a name you hear often.
And you know, I think about the games that New York City FC had against them. They had a really, really difficult time scoring. I don't think they've beaten them. If I could be wrong, there might have been one game I think they've one or something like that, but it was a long stretch that ever since they got into the league, which is a team that they couldn't really like figure out. So Charlotte, that is a good shout.
I've got them in week two at Bank of America Stadium against Atlanta, which is sort of a quasi rivalry, but that place is going to be packed. It's an NFL stadium. They'll sell close to every seat, I think, for that home opener.
We were there for the first Messi's game.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to show you Charlotte's logo, and then I need you to not have water in your mouth. All right, do you see the logo? Right? This is the logo, right?
Yeah.
You see a like a queen's crown, right?
Yes.
Don't you also see three dicks pointing down?
Oh, my God.
Can you now unsee that? I can't unsee that.
We've been showing people.
I can't unsee it, dude.
In the negative space.
And they shoot lasers. I don't know where the fourth one is.
So, God. Just a slight little.
Okay, that's a wrap.
And that's all I see that's when I see it. So I'm all right. So now when you're going to show
you that, you had that in your back pocket the whole time.
You're going to giggle and no one's going to know why.
Now I can't do the game in week two. I've got to go somewhere.
Don't bring it up during the game.
Don't bring it up. You do credit the Cooligans.
Credit the Cooligans. Yeah.
If you want to know what was shown, by the way, if you're listening or watching, just join our Patreon. we've talked about it.
Anyway, so Steve Cangelosi, thank you so much. Just another reminder. So thank you, Apple TV for MLS for organizing this and getting you here. But the docuseries Onside is coming out Friday, February 21st on Apple TV Plus. We've spoken to a lot of people already. Heard a lot of the interviews that we spoke to a lot of the people that are involved. It's the Formula One Drive to Survive creators that made it.
I'm fascinated to see where this goes too, because I could point to one instance, MLS Cup, where I know they got a little too close to one player and he kind of like got a little rattled. I'm not gonna violate any confidence. So I'm kind of very interested to see, you know, where the line was drawn, if it was ever drawn.
That's fascinating.
So I'm ready for this.
I'm speculating at who it could possibly be, but we did speak to Greg Vanney, we did speak to Emil Forsberg, and there was a little of like, you know, they told those stories of just being like, all right, what are these guys here for? Like, not an invasion of privacy, but it's letting people it's very not. Close.
No one ever gets in the view of what's happening really in the locker room. So this is awesome.
The producer's line is always, after a while, you won't know we're here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I love it.
And then it's like,
just to do like this as you're on the phone with your wife.
Imagine they were doing Onside and doing this documentary.
No, I have a feeling this is going to kick ass.
But imagine they were doing this during a Red Bull Thierry Henry season. How do you think he would have received it?
You know, we live in a different age now, I don't know. He might have been all on. I don't know. I can't speak for him. He might have been on board with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? Now you see the real Thierry.
Amazing, Steve Cangelosi. Obviously, the MLS season starts this Saturday, February 22nd. We're excited for it, and like we said before, you are a legend in this game.
Always
you are,
welcome.
A voice that we've heard for such a long time, and it's an honor that you can. Share that voice on one of our microphones. So thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks for telling everybody I'm 150 years old. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Steve Cangelosi. What a wonderful interview. It doesn't stop there. The fun continues because here's our conversation with New York City FC, Keaton Park.
We are excited to be joined by, at this point, what, a coworker,
family,
colleague, family?
Are we invited over for Thanksgiving?
Okay, our invitation must have got lost in the mail. But no, just one of our favorite players, favorite people. And now I also just learned, currently the longest tenured player at New York City FC. So we got a veteran on our hands now. The one and only midfield for New York City FC, Keaton Parks. What's up, brother?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course, dude. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Talk a little bit about being the longest tenured player, bro. Yeah. You the OG. You the vet now.
Yeah. I guess kind of surprised to learn that. You guys didn't just tell me, but I learned a couple of days ago maybe. And it feels weird. I've been here that long. My seventh season this year.
It's wild because I remember when you got here and obviously, you know, most people know that are watching this. I mean, we're day one fans of New York City FC. But
we're the only ones have been around longer than Keane.
But one of the things I remember when you first got here and it was like difficult for you to get minutes and get playing time. And then to go from that to it essentially being like you are effective. It's like you and Maxi are like the most important midfielders. You are essentially the identity of how the team kind of plays. So to go from that fighting for minutes to essentially being a veteran of this club where people look to you to kind of keep the trajectory of the club going forward, how does that feel?
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, I love it here. I love this club. I love New York. And it's been an honor to be here this long, but to like grow into that position as like the guy that people look to and like, it's really cool. It's really special to me.
Man. You got a new coach coming in. You call him, be like, I don't know if you heard, I've been here for a while. I kind of start every game.
Yeah,
put me in pen. Is it exciting? Gives you like a renewed, fresh opportunity to see like what else I could do on the pitch?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always cool to bring in a new guy because I don't know what he's going to teach me. You know, totally different experiences than any other coach I've had. So it's just cool to bring in a fresh face, and we'll see how it goes. But another part of that is I have to prove myself again type thing. I always try to prove myself, but maybe he won't like me, and then I'll lose that starting spot. Yeah. But you never know.
This is the thing about professional athletes. They love the challenge of proving themselves. I'm like, again, can't you just Google me?
Look at my highlights, bro. Look at the archive.
I know, damn, dog. Check social. Yeah.
But it's interesting because you speaking that way, there's almost a little bit of pessimism of he might not like me, but I know Keaton Parks. Everybody likes Keaton Parks.
There's tell no him to call yeah, up. So.
you would hope so. You never know. But I think I have a lot to offer, and I think the young guys do look up to me. So maybe he'll see all of that. But at the same time, he's might play a different style and might not like my style. So it's just about fitting in at this point.
Impossible.
Yeah,
no, that's not even. That's
you
not
bugging.
Even.
Stop lying. Stop capping on this show, bro. Let me ask you. You've been here long enough, man. Stadiums, bro, it's about to happen. Give me the fans are going crazy. We knew it would happen, but we kind of felt like, are we going to be here when this happens, And now it's actually starting to happen. Talk about the excitement of just the progress this club has made in the last 7 years. It's wild.
Yeah, very excited. I would say it's about time, but I'm super excited. One for our fans because they finally get a home base after they've been following us around all over the area to cheer us on. But it'll be nice to just have a place that we go to. We know where our game is on the weekend. We don't have to check the schedule and make sure we're driving to the right place.
I want to ask,
am I City Field? Am I going to the Bronx? Where am I headed?
I want to ask about just being a dad. We sort of became fathers around the same time, and it's been fun watching your kid grow up on social media and team at games. I remember commenting on a photo a couple months ago because you are a tall guy, and you would imagine that your son is also probably going to be kind of tall. And then I had seen a photo, a family photo. And your son is almost as tall as your wife. It's it is shocking to see.
Yeah, he's a big kid. He's 90th percentile and everything. My wife is a shorter person, but he is massive.
Yeah. So. By the way, shorter person, regular. I think is the word we use. Okay. You're the wild one. You're 6'9".
All right, fair enough. That's fair. But he's definitely getting my genes. That side of things.
What has being a dad changed your perspective on with your job and life and being a footballer? Because that really tends to happen with a lot of time with first time parents.
Yeah. A little bit, I guess. I want to make him proud. I want him to he's going to grow up around this for a long time or hopefully a long time. And I just want to make him proud. I want to be my best so that he sees that and wants to be his best.
You're Dallas born and raised, right?
Yeah.
So how you feel about your kid going to have a New York accent?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be like, yo, dead ass dad, school's hard, bro.
School is hard,
yo,
bro.
Yo, teacher's OD right now. And you're going to have to be like, man, there's not one howdy coming out of this kid.
I'm excited for it. Yeah, I'll have to teach him y'all so he can keep that going. Yeah. But everything else, he can pick
you
up
wanna
on his own.
You
want
to sneak one y'all in there, you teach a kid Spanish? You got to give him a little...
Yeah.
Okay, at least you're raising him in a bilingual household.
Yeah, that's true.
He speaks deadass and he speaks Texan.
As far as there's a lot to look forward to in this season. But the way the season ended, I mean, even for us as fans, it's obviously still very difficult. But the
game before that though was great because we did the coin toss.
We did the coin toss at the FC Cincinnati game two, and so we
we tried so hard, dude.
So we brought it too, just like you guys in that game. But the playoff run, obviously highs and lows. But when you reflect on it, how do you feel about it now?
Yeah, still disappointed. I think we could have came out stronger in that game, and I think we created a lot, but we just couldn't finish those chances, and it sucks to. For that to happen in such a vital game. I was saying that I've kind of forgotten about it. Said I've relaxed, been with my family and stuff.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, until everybody's bringing it up now. Yeah. So now I'm reliving it, and it's just as bad as it was then.
All right.
Yeah. Actually, this season, I noticed something about you. Maybe I'm off. Maybe it's not too as exact as I'm saying it, but I've been seeing a lot more late runs into the box from a Keaton Parks. Yeah. Is that something you added into your game?
Yes.
Is that something? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
all right. I was nervous there when I said it. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I've been doing that since day one.
No. I've been trying to work on that, getting my timing right so that I'm not caught out of position by running too early. And that I'm showing up in the box late and the defenders aren't picking me up type thing. So it is.
Has been that you open and you get the shot on goal. Exactly. That's a good move.
Yeah. It has been something I'm working on.
It's weird for the defenders to miss the 6'4" man.
Yeah.
Right through.
Yeah. You would think. Yeah. You got to sneak in there.
A little overload. Bro.
I mean, it is interesting because just speaking of those late runs, I mean, you're getting a lot more opportunities just getting headers in the box and also on set pieces. But it's something from midfielders, most midfielders are not your height, right? So your type of game kind of lends itself well to both. Is that like something that you're working on more, like just headers in the box, creating those that space, getting those late runs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think like header goals is something I've been good at over the last few years, and it's something I need to add to my game with my height and everything. And so it's always something I wanted to work on. And this year, you're right. Like I created a lot more chances for myself, which is great, but now I need to score those chances.
Yeah. So, speaking of headers,
is fun and all, but
speaking of headers, the game against Inter Miami at Yankee Stadium, right? James Sands scores his first goal for the club.
Fantastic.
At equalizing. It was such a wild experience for me, not just to see the building filled like, you know, completely to the gills, but a bunch of kids in pink Messi jerseys cheering for New York City FC equalizing against Inter Miami. Talk about just the hoopla around that game and then to come out equalizing and steal the match and, you know, steal a point in the last seconds. How did that go down? Talk about what happened after that.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, one just for James and scoring his first goal and such a big moment and everything with so many eyes and cameras on him, you know, it's an awesome moment for him. But it was great for us. I think it really pushed us through the last part of the season and helped us finish what we finished. But yeah, it's funny. Like it's such a circus around those games and stuff. And you never know who's cheering for who because they're all wearing the pink jerseys, but they might be like diehard New York City fans. So you never know. So. You just got to weed them out.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen anywhere else in the world, I don't think.
I know. Speaking of circus, I mean, leading up to that game, there was that video of the Inter Miami team bus coming into Yankee Stadium.
And the fans really pushed the vibe.
Really letting them know what they were getting themselves into.
Oh, yeah.
But it as fans, it made us kind of proud in that it didn't provide... It was hostile.
Yeah.
And you know...
That's how football should be.
And I think it said something about NYCFC fans that they're, you know, we understand that people are fans of Messi and Suarez and Busquets and all those guys.
But for 90 minutes.
But no, not here. We don't do that. So there must have been a point of pride amongst the players like, oh, they're still behind us, even though this, you know, big players coming into town.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... As they should be, but they are. Our fans are awesome. You know, they know what soccer is. You know, they know true football, and so they show up and they show out every game.
Yeah, I love it.
It's awesome. Well, listen, I know we have to let you go in a minute, but you're both relatively new dads, so we want to do a challenge. You guys are going to both change my diaper and see who does it faster. Are we cool? On three? Is everyone ready?
Okay, I don't know. What size?
I'm going to get on my back.
My kid is a size 5 diaper. I don't know why.
Yeah. I'm double 5, double XL. I'm 50, 2X5. Do they make those? We had to stitch 7 diapers together.
Okay. I mean, look, you got to make YouTube content anyway you can these days. You need those views. Keaton Parks, obviously wishing you the best this season. And yeah, like always, we're going to be there for every game, man. So best of luck.
Great to see you guys.
Trust me, you'll start and we'll call the coach. Shouts to Keaton Parks.
Let's go. MLS Media Day. It was nice of him to come by.
Yeah. Yes. You know what I love about him? He seems like he's starting to... develop that like sort of veteran leadership type of personality and presence.
And I just want to give a little BTS, a little behind the scenes.
Mm. it's not on, but we all know,
but we are. Keaton cut his lunch short to do that interview because if you don't know, MLS Media Day, the players are they're pulled in 50 different directions, have to do all these interviews, and he wasn't originally scheduled to be on the show, but NYCFC were like, yo, we're going to make time for you. And Keaton said, I'm going to put down my turkey sandwich.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I got you. Actually, I got another behind the scenes of the behind the scenes.
Okay.
Christian snuck in the players' room and got himself some food. You know
that,
this.
That is true.
But they gave us box lunch. Christian's like, yo, this is room full of tacos and stuff. It's really good. And we're like, what?
And turned up. That was the players' room you weren't allowed to go to. But you look like a player, so nobody stopped you.
That is true. It was funny because
I got stopped immediately.
The MLS, one of the MLS people, after I'm done walking out, and the lady is speaking to a security guard, she said, "Hey, you need to look at their badges and make sure that they are allowed in this room."
Right. Not all the skinny Dominican ones are allowed in here.
Okay.
I walked in there like, whatever you're about to do is not in the budget.
They're like, "Are you a skinny Dominican?" No, I don't think so. You don't belong in here.
I don't know what you're about to do to these tacos, but I know we cannot afford. We did not ration that out.
So shout out to NYCFC and Keegan Parks. That was great. Let's move on for the last segment today. We got to talk about Champions League. UEFA Champions League was insane. The round of
Let's give some flowers to Ernie Stewart. We're gonna talk about some Americans.
Yes,
here,
yes, yes.
But I want to start by just giving him flowers. But yes, let's talk Real Madrid.
The playoff is it the playoff round? What is this round called?
This is the knockout stages.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the
playoff round
to get into round of 16.
Now you're about to go into the round of 16. But okay. Yes, the biggest match, and you mentioned this before. This is like a big part of the Champions League. The reason this was set up is so that the first rounds wouldn't have a Real Madrid versus Manchester City.
Yeah.
Well, we got it. And I got to be honest, it was incredible, unless you're a Manchester City fan.
Correct. Yeah. Because, I mean, in the second leg, 3-1, aggregate 6-3. This wasn't even, I mean, this is one of those things where Manchester City just made it in to this round.
And played like they just made it in.
Yeah, just like a team. They look like, I mean, now that it's a league table, they look like a bottom of the table club. And look
this
like
this was anticlimactic.
Exactly. They avoided relegation. Mm. And they just, this is what, you know, like when teams are first place in the championship and then last place in the Premier League, it's like you wouldn't think that the gap would be that wide, but this is essentially what Manchester City is in Champions League. They looked like they came up against a such a formidable opponent that they had really, really no shot. It really felt like Manchester City are just not the squad itself is not prepared for games like this.
Yeah. I'm watching this happen and my mind starts to wander. Like during Arsenal's worst times, there was a little known outfit.
You got to wander hard, bro, because Arsenal missed Champions League for a long time.
not just Champions League, but during our worst run. This might be Manchester City's worst run. I'm thinking about, like, is there going to be somebody with a Pep out, you know, a sign?
Oh, sure.
Is this the beginning? I mean, it's stupid to suggest
a bolt. That would be a bolt. I would say that is a...
You might get knocked out by other Manchester City
like
fans.
Somebody so counterculture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Super contrarian. It feels like a Liam Gallagher move,
bro,
you know? Don't like some Liams. Like, I think I might
go opposite.
It has to get
really, really, really bad.
This might be the worst they've looked in this competition, but I think back to Arsenal during its worst period, there's a little known outfit called Arsenal Fan TV that popped.
Mm-hmm.
Could this be the rise of a Manchester City fan TV?
Maybe.
Or a City fan
TV? There must
TV.
Be some. I mean, if it doesn't exist already, there must be some.
There's
got to
be some
fan.
Businessman in Manchester who's like, I got an idea.
The interesting thing is here is that you notice it, I would say, more with the live stream watch-along people, right? So we know Tottenham has, like, expressions, and they have a bunch of other people that aren't as...
the two guys.
The two guys that aren't as loud and stuff like that. Everton has a couple folks. Obviously, Manchester United has plenty. But the Manchester City does have one. I scroll through TikTok and I see it. And then there's a little bit of like, bro, what are you doing? What are you doing watching?
Also,
like, to say,
bro,
why are you doing watching after Manchester City?
What you even talking about?
Just talking about how great everyone is.
Right? Another one in the box, baby. Thanks for tuning in.
But now that Manchester City are not doing well, now we get a couple
That's
clips.
That's like a Harlem Globetrotters watch along. Like, what's going to happen this week, folks?
Are the generals going to come back?
Oh, you never know.
And that's now... We get some clips. We get some Manchester City fans getting upset
get to see the frustration there in the mud a little bit.
And it's a little bit, even though I'm seeing the frustration, I can't even genuinely believe it. I'm like, you're mad? Yeah. Like, what is good? What? It has to, you know, when I see Arsenal fans, when I see Tottenham fans, when I see just other clubs, and I see the frustration and they throw their keyboards and, right. and smashing their cameras and stuff, I'm like, well, yeah, that club's been through a lot. I could see that.
Right. Boovy is probably the biggest name that's a Manchester City fan that pops to mind. And here's the thing. We know Boovy, right? I know. I've hung out with the guy. I think he's a lovely dude, right? if this clip reaches your shores, I hope you understand. I like you, bro. But there's something about watching you suffer that feels fun because you kind of come off like a pompous dude because you're a city
because
fan.
Yeah, and it has nothing
you've
to do.
No, it's not you personally. You've just had so much joy while everyone else has had to suffer that it's nice to see you in pain and have to kind of figure out, make an excuse.
Well, yeah, it's like the joy in itself also. Like, who was the wide receiver for the Eagles?
Just once he didn't even enjoy the
Super
Bowl.
He didn't even enjoy the Super Bowl. It was like, I enjoyed it for like 15 seconds.
No, he said 2 days. It's really all it is.
And then now it's like back to work. He's like, I didn't think this is how I would feel after winning a Super Bowl.
He said, I just like dominating people.
AJ Brown.
Yeah, he said, I just feel like dominating people week in and week out.
Yeah.
That's a remarkably broken human being, by the way.
But AJ. But also, you know, shout out to AJ Brown because he came forward. He has like a mental health thing. Yeah, he talked about that. And so props to him. But yeah, that's kind of how I look at Manchester City fans. Like they can't even really experience real joy because it's too much of it.
How much are you really enjoying this? And it's weird to think of Real Madrid as somewhat of an underdog against this team.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's almost weird for me to be a neutral fan and rooting for Real Madrid to win. Like they've won this competition more than anyone else.
Yeah, look, the young upstarts. But no, given
I put it together.
Given the storyline with Real Madrid and Kylian Mbappe gets a hat trick in the second leg. We were all like, how is this team going to work? Vinicius Jr. belongs on the left and Mbappe wants to be there and blah, blah, blah. And I think there's a quiet turnaround, I think, for Kylian Mbappe.
I think it's so quiet. I think Carlo Ancelotti had to answer some tough questions at moments. It got a little sticky. But for the most part, he kind of gave him time and kind of gave him grace and said, yeah, we'll figure it out. And it's like, you know, you get the luxury if you're Real Madrid of being like, hey, bro, we just got this silly little regular season that gets in the way of our group action, Champions League. And then we can mess around in there and figure ourselves out.
And
you know?
Then and this photo, I mean, was this the second goal or the
this
first?
This was, yeah, the second in the hat trick.
So
yeah.
The one where he cut, I mean, there was a nutmeg pass.
Kushnov.
And then Gvardiol goes to... you know, do a slide challenge or at least, you know, put a challenge in on Mbappe. Mbappe just drags the ball to his right foot.
Gvardiol's knees and ankles must have been built by Boeing.
Because he did. He you can see he got caught in between two minds of like, should I slide?
Right.
Or should I just put in a challenge?
Yeah.
And his foot stuck in the dirt.
He did neither of the two, which is a good lesson for young kids out there. If you hesitate to make a decision, you end up making none.
Love the celebration from Kylian Mbappe because you rarely see that. It's not even like he is literally pointing back at a dead body. Yeah. He's like, hey, look at her.
This is perfect. He's looking at his boy like, yo, you see my man?
You see my man? Who man is that?
Nah.
Who man is that back there?
Not with that move. You ain't gonna do this back then.
Nah. That's your boy?
Nah. If I was y'all, I'd go back to training.
So because you never really see Mbappe gloat like this.
No, this is also a man who knew he's on form and they're not.
Yeah.
He could feel it.
And so look, you know, City's woes continue. This is, I mean,
and don't forget Real Madrid also had to go into the knockout stages, right?
Sure,
This was not an easy run for them in Champions League, and they are very much in form right now.
I did say before, or last week or whatever, like this game was happened too early in the Champions League.
Yeah, a lot of people said that, but you were also trumpeting.
I did say that, but now that I think about it, I'm like, damn, we got rid of this weak ass Man City team out of the way, and now we can watch like real teams.
Yeah, kind of like PSV did to Juve, bro.
So the other, let's move on just to focus on some of the Americans that are playing in Champions League that are now knocked out. AC Milan knocked out by Feyenoord.
Damn, which is, Santi got knocked out by his ex,
which is, I mean, he scored on...
It's messed up.
And it was just such a recent breakup,
I know,
too,
dude.
Man.
Damn, I thought y'all was amicable, bro.
Y'all still follow each other on social media. You didn't even get to that yet.
It's weird, bro.
So Feyenoord wins in that second leg. They win 1-1. No, the second leg, what was the score? 1-1.
Yeah,
yes, 1-1. So they went 2-1. We're looking at the wrong game. Apologies for that. But the big talking point in this game was really the Theo Hernandez second yellow card.
Mm-hmm.
He gets for a dive in the box after he received.
There was even some arguing amongst the three of us whether that really was a dive or not.
Yes, this was a This is my argument. I don't think he should have gotten the yellow, but I do think it was a dive. And for me, a dive is not just diving. It is diving to with the intent to manipulate the referee. And there was a challenge in. He jumps over. There's no contact. He doesn't really make a big deal about it. He kind of just moves on with the game.
He kind of sat on his butt and was like, yo, come on.
No, he didn't. He really didn't make it.
He did a little bit of that.
He didn't really make any big gesture to the referee to tell him like, hey, why didn't you make a penalty here? So in that instance, I'm like, it seems harsh. I was watching the game live and I'm like, yes, he did. Yes, he jumped over the guy.
Was it in the box?
It was in the box.
So he dove in the box. And now you're trying to tell me that shouldn't be a yellow.
But he did not appeal to the referee to say, like,
I don't know that that's in the rules.
I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying it's
harsh.
Saying,
like, it suddenly puts it in a dives little bit more of a gray matter.
Dives do not always get yellow carded. You can't. I know you know that.
A dive in the box, though, is pretty egregious.
It's this egregious to me is him arguing for the call.
I get it. Trying to goad it in more.
Yeah, yeah. And he did not
do
that.
Sell it.
This felt
nonetheless. I think this is massive for Feyenoord.
It is massive.
I feel terrible for Milan though.
Yeah, but I mean, more than anything, they lost because of him.
Yeah.
Let's not be like mince words. They 100% lost because of Theo Hernandez's decision to do this. And yes, so he has to accept some responsibility.
He's the type of player that just does one thing every once in a while that confuses you.
Yeah.
And this was it. It just turned into a red card. Or a second yellow, yeah.
Because I think a full, if they have the full team, they probably win this game. But yeah, but an interesting storyline with Santi Jimenez, because the... yes, he scores against his old team. He doesn't celebrate. I think he forgot for a second who he scored on, and then he was like, okay.
I think he was having to score. And he was like, oh no, I used to be there.
Also the decision to after the red card to bench Christian Pulisic and keep Joao Felix on the team.
Makes zero sense. I know Gonzalo loves this guy.
There's a little to me. There's like some disrespect there. I'm like, this is your penalty taker.
Yeah.
He's done enough to earn the opportunity to stay on the pitch in that situation.
Especially if you need a goal. And he's not just a great goal scorer, but he's a great assistant.
And
John
Felix just got here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
There's no way you don't feel some kind of way about that.
It's a little frustrating, I'm sure, if you're a Christian Pulisic, but I mean, he's had a good season thus far. For me, I think this is just a really good moment for Eredivisie teams, man.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, especially with PSV advancing.
PSV knocks
huge.
Out Juve.
Yo, Ajax, all they needed to do was take a step back and suddenly have the team. We realize it's all so good.
Sure.
Maybe Eredivisie teams deserve, the Eredivisie squad league deserves more Champions League
coefficient.
Yeah.
Raise the coefficient. I mean, with wins like this, I think they end up making a case for themselves. Because who gets the most now? Is it still Premier League?
Champions League. I'm sorry. Premier League will next season have 5, it looks like.
Yeah. Because there's some.
Although with City getting knocked out, maybe that's not the case.
Sure, we'll see. But yeah, so no, a big win for PSV as well. Obviously, Weston McKennie and Tim Weah. Tim Weah scores in that second leg, but yeah, just too much.
A fuakata of a goal.
Yeah, yeah, lovely, lovely goal. But just too much for them to handle. So yeah, it's a bummer to see a lot of these Italian sides get knocked out. Atalanta,
you just
as
need
well.
More Americans, bro.
Yeah, bro. Atalanta getting knocked out was also a
big. Good thing about it was there was no drama that followed it, right? The coach didn't call out one of their players
across,
for no reason.
Across both legs, but in that second leg, Club Rouge was just completely dominant. But yeah, the big story out of that after that game was about Ademola Lookman and mm-hmm. and the head coach Gasparini,
who came out and said he's the worst penalty taker we have on the team. I don't know why he would do that. Essentially,
yeah,
I'm not even paraphrasing that much. No, that's like word for word.
He
the
literally
first
was
sentence.
Like, "We have penalty takers." Lookman is the worst one we have. Like, I'm just like, bro, you got smacked after both games. And the fact that that's even an issue, especially when...
He's doing the... talk to him, not me.
The penalty would have made no difference in the result. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they got completely cooked across both legs. And yeah, it's hard to make sense of it because if it feels personal. There's you rarely ever see players... or coaches talk about their players in almost, they rarely say anything.
For good reason. I mean, this is throwing your player under the bus for no reason. Even if Gasparini's a bit of a weirdo, sometimes, you know, he just sort of talks, kind of like when Ruben Amorim first came in.
Yeah.
You know, to Manchester United, he was kind of just like talking to the media and you're like, that's going to be picked apart. It's going to make you look bad. So he kind of does that. But this feels, it feels like vindictive for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's so much that. Ademola Lookman had to release a statement. I think he did an incredible job with it too.
Yeah, I mean, we could read a little bit of it. It just said the first line said, "It saddens me on a day like this to have to write this statement, most of all because of what we have achieved together as a team and as a city."
Just right there, that already feels to me like he's like, "I'm out."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels like a goodbye, a statement. But he continues on. He said, "Being singled out in the manner I have." I have been not only hurt, but feels deeply disrespectful. Not least because of the immense hard work and commitment I have always put in each and every day to help bring success to this club and to the incredible fans of Bergamo.
Yeah,
and
real quick, can you put me on ISO real quick? I just wanted to say to the fans, we have two people that could have read that statement, and Christian's by far the worst one that could have read it because she's done.
Wow. What a wildly
see
unnecessary.
See how rude that is?
the mouse.
I'm only fucking with it.
I got confused. The mouse was in on the screen, and anyway.
Imagine if your girl said something slightly disrespectful to you or a joke went too far, and you stood up and started saying, I hate that I have to make a statement like this on a day like today. Just thinking back on the wonderful time we've had in our relationship, she'd be like, "Are you leaving?" You know what I mean? You'd be like, "Oh, I take back what I said. It was a joke. I was just trying to be rude." Yeah, this feels like, I feel bad that Ademola Lookman had to put this out, but the rumors were that he wanted to leave last season or sort of in, after last season, and he was not forced to stay, but I guess it wasn't easy for him to leave. Or maybe they, you know, no one came in or not, but didn't pay enough, all of mm-hmm. these things. Whatever the case may be, it feels like now it's like, that's it. Lying in the sand. Yeah, like, come on.
You had that moment. Yeah. I mean, this is, look, the men's African footballer of the year. Yeah. Obviously getting the hat trick.
Former Everton player.
Look at that. Scoring a hat trick in the Europa League final.
Huge. Against a team that was undefeated.
How much does he have to contribute to this club to deserve something better than that, especially for what ended up being a meaningless penalty? Yes, you could say like, yeah, it could have changed the momentum a little bit or whatever, but they still gave up three beforehand or whatever.
That penalty wouldn't have saved them.
Not at all.
Why throw them under the bus?
Disappointing to see something like this, and you wonder why. When I say like it feels personal, maybe it is because he's wanted to leave, or maybe they're having some kind of negotiations or whatever. I don't know if this is his final year, is it the end of his contract, or he wants to be sold.
It'll say it on Transfer Market if you want to look it up.
I'm not sure, but yeah, this is not great. You don't want to see something like this.
The last sentence is, "Life's about challenges and turning pain into power, which I'll continue to do. That gave me a little bit of like, did he chat GPT this joint? But just a little
he
bit.
He did do the.
But it's a powerful statement.
I mean, in the third paragraph, he did say, in truth, I have dealt with many difficult moments during my time here, the majority of which I have never spoken about, because in my opinion, the team must always be protected and must come first.
Wow. So I did what the coach should have done.
He'd have a year left on his contract.
That's a perfect time to sell him.
So, yeah. And this is where you would sort of have these conversations like, hey, you're going to resign or not? And there's probably been...
extensions are being talked about. Maybe an offer's been put in front of him that he doesn't want.
Yeah.
Now, and by the way, there's no shortage of teams that are going to come for Adam Olukman. He's had... although I still don't trust players leaving Atalanta, but he is one of the ones that feels like we'll have success afterwards.
Sure, man. Champions League now.
Trauma is still big, bro. Everyone thought this new league phase and all that. Nah, the drama's crazy.
Yeah, well, are they doing, I guess we'll get like a draw tomorrow or something like that?
Yeah,
or Friday?
Probably Friday.
So we'll know what the next round of 16 is going to look like. But now that this part of it is like kind of done, I mean, look, it brought some pretty entertaining matches, decent storylines.
I've loved it from the beginning. Are you a little bit warmer to it now?
This feels like it's... like this is what it's always been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's starting to feel more normal.
Okay.
So
I love this format.
Yeah, yeah. So I think
Carter, your thoughts on the format real quick.
A+.
Hey,
look at that.
All right. I love to see it. All right. Let's wrap up that shout out again. Thank you, Steve Cangelosi and Keaton Parks.
And also shouts to some of the CONCACAF players on Celtic. They were this close to beating Bayern, man. Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty, and Alistair Johnson. Alistair Johnson, I thought, played incredibly well.
Canadian, obviously.
Yeah, Canadian.
You said CONCACAF, but I thought you said American. But yes, a bunch of really good games. So, thank you to everybody who joined us today. Shout out to everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed this MLS preview. A lot of big games happening this weekend.
I want to start talking like Steve Cangelosi.
On Monday, we will be
the cooling games.
It's a hard. It's like a hard voice to mimic. Exactly.
You have to know the cadences
because
important.
There's a little bit of like if you do his voice, it sounds like you are doing almost like a generic announcer, old timey. But it's not that. His voice is not that. We'll work on it, Steve.
Well, we'll get there.
So we'll talk about all those for the first week of Major League Soccer. We'll talk about it on Monday. So we have a lot to look forward to there. As always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Follow us on Blue Sky. Mm. That's where it's all happening.
We're getting in there. We're skeeting all over the place, baby.
Okay. Yin Yang Twins.
Damn. Hot damn. From the window to the wall.
Anyway. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Follow us on there at Soccer Cooligans everywhere and subscribe on YouTube if you have not yet. We'll see you Monday, everyone. Subscribe to the Patreon as well. Patreon.com/Soccer Cooligans. We got the our MLS kit. Preview the 2025 kits
that's on there
is up there. So if you want to get our thoughts on every single MLS kit, we give a nice thorough review of all of them. Go check that out. Patreon.com/soccercooligans. We'll see you on Monday, everyone. Take care. Peace.
Love you guys.